The inexorable march of time. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of American Hit Radio. Tom Ryan and Heidi Morales. Ryan, my lovely wife and co-host, both here today with you.
What color are my eyes?
What? What's the matter? What are you doing? Oh. That's an odd test. Funny you're doing that today because I put together a set list actually 2 weeks ago because I started looking at a little bit more contemporary stuff. You know, we looked at 2003 last week and we played albums by White Stripes, Yeah, Yeah, Yeahs, Guided by Voices, New Pornographers, relatively modern stuff. But I'm also looking at it, I'm saying, boy, there's something about the year, about the spring of 2003, I think. I'm not exactly sure, but some of like your favorite albums of all time seem to have been released at this point in time.
Hmm.
I'm convinced that it's because it's like immediately after you moved up here to live with me, and your life was just so full of, you were just so full of bliss and joy.
You're so full of yourself.
And happiness. That it just came out of you and you just can just put that onto the music that you heard and now it's your favorite albums because it was, you know, your life was so full of joy.
It's like my connection to my real life.
Well, I think it could be just a coincidence.
Hardly.
I mean, obviously, there's a lot of albums that come out all the time that appeal to us both. But it is sort of funny, actually, when I look at this, go, boy, these are really some of your favorite albums. I would say that I don't get to play stuff repeatedly just because of what I do, the nature of what I need to learn for whether I'm writing or what I'm working on, whatever project I've got. I'm constantly moving forward, finding new or old stuff that I didn't know that I need to learn. So that forces me to basically be studying stuff, you know, constantly discovering things. And I don't, no matter how much I like it, it's very rare when I get to go back and hear things a second, forget, third or fourth time. It's almost never. While with you, when you like something, you play music the way it's meant to be played.
When I mean,
you
get a chance.
You play music when you enjoy it, you know, because you enjoy it and you play what you want to hear. And that sort of is the point. I mean, I've more or less wrecked that for myself by getting too involved with music.
That is the point for me.
I think for most people, it's like, I like it, so that's why I want to play. Nobody wants to sit around and say, I've got to study by, you know, listening to these five CDs for the next 4 hours so that I can take notes about what I don't like about it. You know, that's what I've ended up doing to myself, and now I'm in that. So be that as it may. This is sort of a fun departure, though, because I get to play the albums or the tracks that I hear you playing all the time at home when you get the chance, when you get to the stereo and you say, ooh, where's my playlist? And we hear these are the songs we play. First album up is the Jayhawks.
Rainy Day Music?
Yeah, Rainy Day Music.
Uh-huh.
It's like, it's not the album that a lot of other people would pick as their favorite Jayhawks album, but I think you wouldn't even give it, it's so far ahead of the other albums in your mind. And again, I don't know. I kind of maybe I do attribute it to that point in time because a lot of it seemed to suit where we were at that mm-hmm. time and, you know, coming through a change and trying to recognize about,
yeah,
you know.
Your family was referring to us as the lovebirds, so I could see that.
And you're thinking, like, what is the future? And there was also a little bit of mystery. What does the future hold? You know, you start something brand new and you're thinking, okay, we really do want to do this for the rest of our life, but we only know each other really for
I didn't qualify it that way, but apparently you did.
What, about being together forever? Or what?
Yeah, but we've only known each other.
Oh, well, that's true. Well, the thing is, like, we met in April, and you didn't move up to New York until almost December. So it really was kind of new. So, you know, spring was us just still trying to get, you know, find a place to live, settling in, getting to know, you know, the turf, so to speak. Mm. And this was the soundtrack of those times. It's fairly interesting. So let's play a couple of tracks from the Jayhawks album. This was their seventh album. Mark Olson is long gone at this point. He was really one of the founding singer-songwriters in the band who had left about two or three albums ago. Left Gary Louris as the main Jayhawk. Some of the other guys were writing songs, but it was really all the attention that you've ever paid on the album always seemed to go to Gary Louris' songs. And those are the three songs that I've got picked from the album to play today. So let's get to it then. From the album Rainy Day Music, here's Stumbling Through the Dark and All the Right Reasons.
You're so in love, little girl. So much in love, little girl. Running around in circles, why? You know it's a crime. No less, no more than rules. No less, no more than rules. Try to attach a meaning. As I lay up on my bed, I began dreaming how it's gonna be the day that I am free. Once I settle like the dust up on the table, but then you came along, you helped me write this song. I don't know what day it is, I can't recall the seasons, and I don't remember how we got this far. All I know is I'm loving you for all the right reasons. My sky will always be my morning star. Like a tired bird flying high across the ocean, I was outside looking in. You made me live again. From the mountains to the prairies, little babies, figures fill their heads, visions bathed in red. Day it is, I can't recall the seasons. I don't remember how we got this far. All I know is I'm loving you for all the right reasons. My sky will always be my morning star. Manchester, England, lightning fills the sky as I watch you wave goodbye. From the mountains to the prairies, little babies, figures fill their heads, visions bathed in red. I don't know this far. All I know is I'm loving you for all the right reasons. My sky will always be my morning star.
Now, it's almost... It's easy to be embarrassed by the romanticism of that song almost, you know? It's so incredibly...
Oh, I just embrace it.
It's awesome. I mean, it's got one of the most rich melodies of any pop song I'd ever heard. It's just, you know, one thing that Gary Lewis is great at is writing beautiful melodies, and that song is stunning in its composition. And it's got so much of a, you know, when you get that early Birds and maybe even a bit of like, you know, like early Neil Young, Poco, Crosby, Stills, and Nash. There's a lot of that early, like the folk rock thing, but with a slightly contemporary sensibility in terms of, I guess, well, even not too much. I mean, I was going to say the production is still more or less classic sounding. It's a great little album called Rainy Day Music. I think it was their seventh record. They had a bunch of them up until this point. And they started to like sell less around this point. I remember I had a hard time, but whatever. I would play this. I remember, this is around the same time that I met my birth family, and I remember sending this record to my brothers, like, you got to hear how great this is. And they were all off into their own things, you know? This is probably too mellow for them. They were, you know, we started off like on very different musical wavelengths, everybody, you know, in their own projects. But I still love this record. I know you do.
Yeah, totally.
Let's play one more from this. Let's play the song that I guess... would you say that Save It for a Rainy Day was the hit?
Maybe. I don't know. It was all just for me. Like, I just liked the whole thing.
It's hard to really say that any of it was a hit because really not much of it got airplay. It might have been a hit in our house. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Because you played it a lot. From the same album then, from Rainy Day Music, here's another track. This is called Save It for a Rainy Day.
Pretty little hairdo, don't do what it used to. Can't disguise the living, all the miles that you've been through. Looking like a train wreck, wearing too much makeup. Burden that you carry, more than one soul could ever bear. So sad. Don't look so sad, Marina. There's another part to play. So sad. Don't look so sad, Marina. Save it for a rainy day. Save it for a rainy day. Save it for a rainy day. You never make your mind up like Robin. Won't someone come and take you home? Waiting for a breakthrough. What will you set your mind to? We stood outside the Chinese restaurant in the rain. So sad. Don't look so sad, Marina. Thank you.
those albums that would have definitely appealed to Neil Young fans had it come out 30 years earlier. I mean, you could definitely hear that on the same album as Heart of Gold, with the harmonica break in the middle and a really good guitar riff and the melodies and the high-pitched vocals. It's just got so much of that flavor to it. Great album, great band. I you know, wish that I could hear more from them right now. You know, I think for the past few years, both Gary and Mark Olson have been putting out solo records, getting together, but there's just not all that much attention being paid anymore. But it's a good place to start. And I'm happy to be playing this stuff now, you know, 10 years on. It's like it reminds me of this time, the spring of 2003, 10 years ago. Amazing. I'm also noticing that there's something in common with the albums that I want to play. It's all music from the Western United States, mostly the Northwestern United States. Some of it may be in a left-handed, you know, backwards sort of a way. Like, for example, the next band I want to play you is totally out of left field. They're an Irish band, actually. But that being said, almost all of their inspiration came from the West Coast of the United States. In fact, they were so obsessed and in love with the West Coast of the United States that they started, like when they were in Ireland, they were writing songs and singing about.
They were daydreaming about being elsewhere.
They fantasized about it. Bands like what the Jayhawks were doing and that type of music is what these guys were emulating in Ireland. And rather than getting involved with all the, with what was, I guess, contemporary at that time in Europe, they were obsessed with trying to come to America, and they actually were able. They signed with the label that offered to let them record in California. You know, Virgin gave them
what I did on my summer vacation.
Basically, exactly right. That's what this is. Virgin Records signed them. You know, the band is called The Thrills. Virgin signed them, said they could record in Hollywood. They released their first EP with a song called Santa Cruz, You're Not That Far. See what I mean?
Right, you know? Yes.
They're writing all about, like, you know, these are people that would romanticize about these towns in California, perhaps the way that we would romanticize about towns in Italy.
I like Santa Cruz.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, for somebody from Ireland, that's almost like it is on the other side of the world. So it's really, for them, it was like, you know, realizing an exotic dream. And you can hear the joy of the experience coming out in the music. The album was called So Much for the City. And here's that track, actually the track from the EP, which eventually was transferred and made it onto the album, So Much for the City. This track is called Santa Cruz, You're Not That Far.
Well, tell me where it all went wrong. And tell me where you lost those damn songs. Say I was surprised. Well, I heard a drink was involved. Are you gotta be still living by the sea? Are you gotta be? 'Cause Santa Cruz, you're not that far. No, you're not that far. Are you gonna be? Are you gonna be? 'Cause Santa Cruz, you're not that far. Not that far. Oh, Santa Cruz, no, you're not that far. Santa Cruz, Santa, Santa Cruz, 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 Santa Cruz.
End it! You can hear like the same influences on this record that you heard on the previous record. But this is what's interesting. This is an Irish band who are basically unashamedly, you know, unabashedly trying to sound like an American band.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing it they're doing it without irony, which was a tough thing to do. It still is, you know, since the new millennium came along, everything seems to be about irony, post-irony even, you know, where you know, it's really hard to do things and just sound like you're pure and happy about it, you know. And this record is just sort of like constantly joyous. It's fun. It's funny at times, you know. It's got a good sense of humor to it. You know, sunny, you know, is another word you could use. Let's play another track that was geographically referencing a part of California. This is called Big Sur, and we'll play this into the song that became their first single off of the album. Went to number one in Ireland. It's called that song is called One Horse Town. Here they are back to back. Thank you. It was Ben Sung Good back-to-back, Jayhawks, and then three more tracks by The Thrills, an Irish band that sounds just like a California band, just the way they wanted it.
Yeah.
I mean, we did an Irish night about a few weeks ago for our New York Roots Music Association
thing. No one did one of their songs.
And we did that, so we did One Horse Town.
Oh.
That was the one.
I totally forgot.
Yeah, that was the track.
That
was covered.
I must have gone to the ladies' room at that moment.
It was done well. It was done by Pete Mancini and
I remember now.
Butcher's Blind.
I just had a memory lapse.
Well, remind you that you're listening to American Hit Radio on WHPC 90.3 FM. Heidi and I are here every Wednesday and Friday from 5 until 6, playing through things that we like, sometimes things that we don't on purpose. You know, we'll do that. People get amazed when I tell them that I play songs that I don't like on the radio.
You do it all the time at home, too.
It's a matter of perspective. I mean, to appreciate the good stuff, it's sometimes you need to hear some of the other stuff that's happening at the same time.
That's why I'm mean to you sometimes. Just kidding.
Stop torturing me. If you're into the show, if you want to hear some of our other shows, if you want to hear the music on this show again to get some information, we post them on our website so you can check it out at your own convenience whenever you care to hear it. Search on the name of the show, American Hit Radio. We'll come right up and you'll see the most recent shows right there on the homepage. You can go deep and dig into the other 600 shows that are there too. It's amazing.
Yeah, get crazy.
I think that there is like a server somewhere in Washington that's about the size of of a penthouse suite or something, just filled with computers holding our radio shows. It's incredible. But it's cool because they are all there for you to listen to. And it's nice. There are a lot of people that do take advantage of it. I get the numbers and I'm very happy and pleased when I see that there are, you know, thousands of people doing this on a somewhat irregular basis.
All the kids are doing it. Go ahead. Try it.
Well, let's keep doing what we're doing. I played two albums. I'd love to be able to get to four albums. The thing is, I'm going to get sidetracked and get stuck on this album for a long time. I know it because I think this is the album that would qualify. I think you would call this your favorite album of the decade.
Really?
For those 10 years. I'm not positive of that, really, but I think it's the album I've heard you play more than any other album. When I Pretend to Fall by The Long Winters.
Oh, I do love that record.
Yeah, we played their first album about a month ago. We played a couple of excerpts from it, and it's a great album, but I said this is nothing compared to where they were headed with their second album. And by they, I really mean he, John Roderick.
Yeah.
Is the...
he's my secret boyfriend.
He's the main singer, songwriter, and definitely your secret, super secret boyfriend.
Yes. He is so secret, he doesn't even know it.
Well, John's a great guy. He's like, we did meet him. We had him on our show here live, actually, back around that time. We loved his music so much. And we stumbled upon it, too. This was a total accident. We were asked to go to a show in New Jersey. And we went to Maxwell's, actually.
Yes.
And they were playing at this show, and we had never heard them before.
They were opening up for Not a Surf.
Right. It was those two bands. And we came away being huge fans of both bands.
Right.
And we walked in not knowing what to expect, not knowing anything by either band.
Oh, I thought we had the Not a Surf record.
I don't think so. I think
Rich was a fan, right?
Yeah, I think my friend was. And so we said, okay, we'll check out it. We'll find it out. And then you and I came away, and next thing I know, we own every album by Not a Surf. We own every album by The Long Winters. This was their new album at that time. And this stunned me then. The cleverness of the songwriting is just unbelievable to me. I love when words are clever and when the writer shows a self-aware sensibility, not only of his words, but of the way that he's playing with the words in scope of his melody and placing them within the song. And this album is full of surprises at every turn. So definitely, it's one of my favorite albums of the last decade as well, to be honest. 10 years old, though, as of this month.
Wow.
It's now 10 years since this came out. So let's play some tracks by John Roderick and The Long Winters. As I said, the album is called When I Pretend to Fall. Here's the opening track. This is called Blue Diamonds.
So you can sell yourself on blue diamonds. It takes a day to explain the crime. You laugh at what the LA Times says about us, but delight at my first try at being sly. Finish the third page, time for a break.
like a gang sign framing your face. Time for the hard light, time to get dressed. Good luck, God bless. It feels like this is happening in tree time. I stand up and toast the TV for getting it right. God willing, and the creek don't rise. I've got $2,000 and a bullseye between my eyes. These chickens are fish in a barrel, and the tall one is gonna be for sale. 'Cause you're so
In some ways, I wish I was hearing this again for the first time. It's one of those albums that it's such a thrill to discover this record. I mean, I cannot recommend this highly enough to our listeners, to, you know, people who find that they have similarities with my taste, then don't even hesitate. You know, this album, When I Pretend to Fall by the Long Winters, is definitely...
I don't think there's a dud in whatever he's done.
Really? Well, this album, from beginning to end, it fascinates me. Every song has got some like really fun sort of like a... He sounds like a really nice, easygoing guy with a lot of complications underneath the surface.
Well, life is complicated.
You know, and you can only... Right, it is. And he more or less like plays it that way. It sounds like he's really trying to basically convey his own feelings as nicely as possible, but there's something underneath that's eating away that's making it difficult, which is why I don't know which songs I want to play on this thing. Like, for example, Bride and Bridal is like a quiet song, but it's one of the best songs ever written about breaking off an engagement.
Right.
You know, about bride or yeah. You know, bridle right as though you're being controlled and he feels like he's getting roped into something. It's a great title. You know, with the time that we've got, though, it's that or Prom Night at Hader High, and I don't know which one I should play.
It's a tough choice.
I know I'm going to play Cinnamon next.
Yeah, that's a great song.
Because this is just like a great... I love this song because of what it does rhythmically. Though I love songs when they play three against four, time-wise,
mm-hmm.
and you feel yourself like sort of like moving through something without ever really having it resolve. You know, as it takes you through the lyrics, and this is definitely a story song,
mm-hmm.
but it's an unusual story song. It's hard to figure out exactly what's going on, other than the fact that he's really worried about whether or not his car is going to start.
But I think it's a metaphor for his relationship too.
Right, it could be. Well, this song, I think I'll let it speak for itself. But this is one of the more interesting songs that I had heard from the decade of between 2000 and 2010, still one of my favorites, by John Roderick, off the album When I Pretend to Fall. Here's Cinnamon.
I drew them a heart. They said, do you remember when you saw her last? I said, her skin is cinnamon. Her skin is cinnamon. Do you remember when you saw her last? I said, her skin is cinnamon. Her skin is cinnamon. Her skin is cinnamon. Her skin is cinnamon. Start, please start, please start.
It's plausible scenario. I clung to the stretcher. I drew them a heart. They said, do you remember when you saw her last? I said, her skin is cinnamon. Her skin is cinnamon. Do you remember when you saw her last? I said, her skin is cinnamon. 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 Her skin is trail of a man. Things are the same as when I left, and I so wanted to say hey, but I know you think my sentence was too light. The time should have put this behind us. Some things I soon forget. Bride and bridal are too close in a man's mind. And I know you think my sentence was too light. You weren't true, but I can't blame a woman who changed. Three men have a day with me. I could have found them all before now. And I know they think my sentence was too light. Your father bet 10 years against this day. He wed his girl to a better man. He stands here now with his hat in his hand. And I know he thinks my sentence was too light. You weren't true, but I can't blame a woman who changes. 150 odd days I waited. Time I did my
lyrics. Wait 10 years. But like you said, I know he did his time. But then again, I know you think my sentence was too light.
Divorce songs are so awesome.
Yeah, really. They're incredible. Yeah, or breakups. I mean, I don't know if that's like about breaking up an engagement maybe, or you know, or a divorce song.
Well, it sounds like they got divorced.
It could have been.
Your father bet this day That he would wed his daughter to a better man.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But that could have meant, like, you know, waiting for him to get out of the picture, you know?
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
It's, I don't know. It's obviously, you don't even know. It might not be autobiographical. I mean, I've got some of my best friends say that, you know, if they wrote autobiographical music, their albums would be incredibly boring. They'd write about, you know, ducks in the park, you know? So you got to basically, you know, good songwriters have got to.
Matter if it's about his real life or not.
Exactly. It doesn't really matter at all. Just that it's such a well-constructed song. And I as you can see, I did opt to play the sad song there rather than the
sad
rocker.
Sad songs,
you know.
Say so much.
Prom Night at Hader High is a great rocker on that album. But I want to go on to like one more album, and I don't even have much time for that. So let's get into it. We'll get away from the West Coast for this next one. Go south a bit. Well, Cindy Williams, at this point in time, had already been, I guess, she had been on the rise for so long, and she already had like a series of albums like Sweet Old World and Car Wheels and a Gravel Road that had busted her wide open mm-hmm. and exposed it to a lot of people. People like who were into the whole Americana thing. She was like, you know, the queen artist of it.
Right.
And she followed that up with a bunch of albums that seemed to be getting increasingly sad or introspective. And it was 10 years ago when the album, when she put out the album World Without Tears, which was, you know, full of sad songs and rockers also at the same time. But the entire album was about dysfunctional love. I mean, it was so unbelievable. It was basically about, you know, a really nasty, you know, codependent relationships or like, you know, where things are just so unbelievably great one minute and the next minute you find that all of a sudden, like, something has torn the two of you apart, and you're sitting there trying to basically fill in the hole, and you're just basically building a wall when you're doing it, you know, by trying to, you know, you're pushing yourself further away. It's like
right.
the recognition that you can't fix it once you broke it. And it's an amazing concept for an album because it's so rich with what you can with what you can say about it. You can build a whole bunch of illusions and allegories and paint it that way in a very poetic way. But Lucinda decides to kind of do the exact opposite. She just talks direct. And it's so kind of, it's jarring at times when you hear it. It's almost like, whoa, I don't think I would have been able
Did
to say that.
Did she just say that?
Right, exactly. This is one of those albums where, I mean, you basically feel as if like, no, she's not really inventing characters. She seems to be writing,
and
you know.
And she's not pulling punches either.
Right. It's poetry from the soul. And it's kind of off-putting, weird, and fascinating, and great music all at the same time. Well, I'm going to end with one of the more upbeat songs from that album.
That being said,
since we don't have time for really too many anyway, I'll play with this. If we've got time, we'll move on from there. But from the album World Without Tears, here's Lucinda Williams with Real Live Bleeding Fingers.
You got a sense of humor. You're tragedy. I got behind.